is the Go Blue Crew.
Hello and welcome into the Go Blue Crew. I'm Tyler Fenwick with Derek Devine. Derek, I'm sure you saw the biggest news of the week to come out of the state of Michigan. Jason Benetti is going to be calling Tigers games next season. Perhaps the biggest offseason acquisition that will happen in Major League Baseball. Thoughts on the move?
Tremendous. I'm so excited to see such a big move, first and foremost. But just for me, this week, and for maybe any Michigan Tigers fan, you could say, just nice to see like really positive, exciting news. I thought last night for me, that would have been, you know, watching the tail end of Pistons Bucks, but, you know, they found a way to lose that game. As a fan, you know, annoyed. We talked about this last week, right? Like, it's not annoying, but it's exhausting. And I thought that, you know, I thought Matt Shepard did okay in terms of, you know, his overall stint with the Tigers, but it was time for him to go. And I think you just got one of the best voices, not only in baseball, but really in many sports. And I think, yeah, really talented. Obviously, I'm sure the paycheck must be pretty nice. Not that, you know, Detroit's not a cool place. That's where I live. Not that the Tigers can't be a good team. That's what Tigers fans are hoping for. But yeah, I mean, that's about as big as an upgrade as you can have.
The second biggest news of the week is that Michigan is playing finally real football. And before we get into it, and before we maybe get into some big feelings about what may or may not happen to Jim Harbaugh, I just keep thinking, like, it feels so good to have meaningful football for Michigan coming up. It took until November 11th. But you go back and you look at the schedule, and there just hasn't been a test. Purdue, you know, got a season-high 13 points. And that's about as dramatic as it's gotten, really, on the field for Michigan this season. I'm ready to, like, feel some nervousness in the third quarter. You know what I mean? Like, as much as I may regret saying that, I'm just ready to have, like, those games. And we'll talk about Maryland next week, but, you know, Michigan's definitely got two of them in the final three games coming up. And I'm pretty sure I'll regret this wish, but I'm just ready to, like, have that feeling again, like a game that's still in the balance in the third quarter. You're going into the fourth quarter and it's close. Like, that's a big part of college football. And we can get it sort of watching other games. I mean, it's college football. You know, we watch everything all the time. But I'm looking forward to having some of that for Michigan.
I'm right with you. That live version of ourselves stressing out, heart palpitations, you name it. We're probably going to be regretting that we wish this upon ourselves. But that's bound to happen. It's likely to happen. And I think this is going to be, you know, a rock fight of a game. You saw the way Ohio State and Penn State played each other. Not a whole lot of scoring. It felt like you were watching two decent teams, the way that they were really limiting each other rather than two really good teams. So, yeah, curious as anyone to see how Michigan comes out, how they handle, you know, things on the field after weeks of distractions now, how you play in. No offense to other road environments at all, but the truest road environment you've seen all season by a long shot. James Franklin says, hey, we like noon games better than we like whiteout night games.
That's a lie. Not,
yeah, I mean, that's get the crowd there. You know, we're morning people anyway. All we need is coffee and Dunkin'. Like, I mean, whatever. But I think the atmosphere, obviously, still going to be tremendous at Penn State. You know, a top 10 matchup. And really, I mean, the target has always been big on any team that's a top team when they come into your house. The target's especially big on Michigan because they're the two-time defending Big Ten champs. And now the target's bigger than it's ever been because, you know, they cheated, right? Like every rival fan base, opposing fan base, Big Ten fan base wants them out of the league, wants all the wins vacated, wants all of the postseason play stripped away, wants Harbaugh the furthest thing away from not only Michigan, but college football. And so, I mean, the target really couldn't be bigger. And so it feels like Michigan has a lot going against them as a program. But you have a awesome opportunity to travel on the road and get a big top 10 win. And at least for a week, right, get some of the doubters, the naysayers off your back because you finally played somebody. I had a really good friend of mine who I actually worked with within the Tigers organization from Pennsylvania, you know, spent time in New York City, spent time in LA, definitely a pro sports guy overall, you know, dabbled into some college sports himself. And he responded to my video, Mr. Brightside from the game Saturday night, and said, y'all need to play somebody for real. I'm getting upset. So, hey,
I mean, me too, a little bit, but yeah,
the time is now, right? Like, and that's what I said, you know, I said, hey, scheduling gods were really good to him. But you know, it's getting real in November, and then, you know, just kind of pointed to next year, like we talked about last week of, hey, I mean, nothing's easy next year. And I feel like, you know, these next 3 weeks, even including Maryland, because they're a team that showed some promise. These next 3 weeks are going to be a lot what next year feels like. And so this is the chance for Michigan to really come out and prove that they're legitimate in a college football playoff contender.
Here's my question for you. Michigan's a 4.5 point favorite. I think that has gone more in Michigan's favor over the week. I can't remember what it started at, but I don't think it was as big as 4.5. You mentioned the noon game at Penn State, obviously. What do you think the line is that, or if this was like a whiteout night game, you know, like one of the biggest things I think you can fear going into in college football is Penn State a betting favorite in that environment?
Yeah, I think you're either seeing Penn State as a betting favorite or, you know, something crazy like 2.5. I mean, obviously 4.5 is not a ton, but, you know, if you think of the way the game of football plays, 2.5 would mean, you know, a team wins by a field goal probably last second or a touchdown last second. And so, you know, 4.5 allows you to actually have a game that ends up looking closer than it does, ends up being. So, yeah, you know, I don't know how much they would factor in, you know, a whiteout night game specifically, but last I saw, you know, and I listen, I haven't watched really any. If they're talking about Michigan, especially ESPN, I've not watched a single thing. I've not read a single thing. It's not like an out of boycott, just again, just kind of like exhausted by it. But I was out to lunch at work yesterday, and, you know, TV's at a kind of a pizza bar, and it was muted, but you could tell that they were definitely talking about the scandal, the sign stealing. And eventually they went on a little bit to talk about the matchup. And I saw that, you know, still use the FPI. What do they use at ESPN now?
Yeah, I think analytics. It's the football power. Well, okay, hold on. It just says ESPN analytics.
They might have gotten rid of the FPI. But basically, as of yesterday at lunch, and if you're on there, tell me what it is now. But it was only a 49% chance to win.
50.4.
Okay, so it's up a little bit.
Wait. Oh, you know what? I don't think I would have noticed this unless you pointed it out. I was looking at Penn State, 50.4% chance to win.
So right around the same. All I know is I think it was 49 when I saw it for Michigan yesterday. I can't remember what Maryland's was, but Ohio State's was higher, whether it was 52 or 55. I don't remember exactly. But, you know, the good old ESPN analytics system, whatever they're calling it now, they do feel like this is the toughest game as of now on Michigan's schedule. It's the next game on the schedule. So you could say it's the toughest game on the schedule. But yeah, I think this one could go either way. And I think, you know, to come full circle, I think we'll be, you know, sitting on the couch wherever we're, you know, consuming the game. And I think we'll feel a little bit of nervousness. I think we'll probably feel a little bit of frustration. And I think we might have to, you know, take a little walk at halftime and, you know, cool off a little bit probably.
I'm not a walk at halftime guy, but I know what you mean. It's just going
to
be...
Two dogs kind of have to be nowadays.
Yeah, I get that. I got two cats. They don't require much attention. people might look at me if I took them outside. I probably will just keep them inside like I normally do. Big storylines here for Penn State. One, I was about to say elite defense. Unironically, I won't. Very, very good defense. Two, an offense that really struggles to find explosive plays. Drew Aller, for as hyped of a quarterback as he's been, has struggled to push the ball downfield. I think that's a combination of the coaching staff not dialing it up. And also, he just hasn't, you know, when I'm watching games, he hasn't hit those throws when they do get the opportunity to push the ball downfield. So it would be our luck, right, that this is the game Penn State's offense really finds a rhythm and they're taking shots and hitting them. But if you're going to, like, take Penn State for what they are through nine games, it's a good offense still that just is going to – they're going to take 10 plays instead of, you know, four or five. Like, they don't have that explosive element, even though you see the potential there, especially out of the backfield. But it's got me nervous that Michigan early in the season, especially, I think, struggled in some spots, giving up deep balls. And I don't know, does that come back and get them? Obviously hoping not, but it's just one of those things that's been in the back of my head. And then on the flip side, Penn State's defense, yeah, really good. Does Michigan, the running game has not been the same straight up. And you can put, I think, most of the reasoning there on the fact that the passing game has taken a big step forward. And so it's balanced out, and Michigan's offense just isn't exactly the same as it was last season, point blank. But, you know, are you going to be able to rely on your ground game in a game like this where you really need to develop it? And it's got to be something you can depend on. So those are the big things for me I'm paying attention to. Anything got you nervous in there from what I said?
Yeah, I mean, I think a good segue too into the disappointed if segment. You know, what's got me nervous is Michigan's played really clean football overall, avoiding turnovers outside of, you know, a couple of moments. You know, you think of the punt return fumble where it bounces off a player in this last game. You think of J.J. McCarthy's really bad three interception game. And really outside of Michigan State, I think it was, you know, few penalties. And so, one, I'll be disappointed if Michigan's messy in terms of penalties and turnovers. That would not be a good recipe for winning a football game on the road. But that's what's got me most nervous. I think you have to play good, sound football. You, as a coaching staff, as players, want to have a smart game plan, want to execute. And James Franklin, you can think of the game, 2 years ago, I think it was, made some questionable decisions.
That's every James Franklin game, though.
Right, and so the way I look at this game is you always have, and this always makes me nervous as a fan, like, oh, Penn State, you know, won in whatever against top 10 teams at home, and like, I hate it's like Indiana. It's like, you know, Indiana hasn't beat Michigan in 37 years. It's like, it's bound to happen, right? And so they're going to throw those graphics up. You know, they're talking all about it. And then all of a sudden it's going to be like, okay, Michigan's the team where that trend changes. But I think if you play clean football, you give yourself not only a good chance to win, but you give yourself a great chance to really control the game. And I think that's what Penn State, now they can have explosive plays. Ohio State thought that Michigan wouldn't have any explosive plays, and they found a way to do so five times. Penn State has the big play ability, just hasn't really found that yet. Drew Aller is a great quarterback. He does not lack poise whatsoever. But sometimes he can, you know, get a little antsy. He's coming off his best game by far, a game on the road. Penn State scored a bunch of points, and I think that if he plays like he did against Maryland, which, you know, albeit a weaker defense, could cause some trouble. And so, yeah, I mean, biggest nerves, just take care of the ball. Don't have that early game Shea Patterson leading the team penalty where you can't even get the snap off first play of the game and it goes downhill from
Hopefully that's
there.
not a problem at noon.
And that was that the game too where they did have a chance and came back and Ronnie Bell drops it. I mean, it feels like they've been even in some of the game. I mean, there's a Saquon Barkley game where it felt like they lost 100-0.
Yeah. I think
But
that was
even the last
2017.
game they lost at Penn State, they had a chance and kind of tried to come back. And so, yeah, I mean, you're a good team if you continue to play like you have. And I think both teams could say that. And so something's got to give, and we'll see who kind of, per se, breaks first come this Saturday.
Do you remember early in the season when I was saying that Penn State reminded me of 2021 Michigan?
Yeah. And I think what, but preseason, were we higher on Penn State than Ohio State? At least I was, I think.
I don't remember how I felt, but that's totally possible. I can't think back to what we were saying, but
No,
I can
you're
see.
definitely spot on with with the 2021, and I think even partly part of 2022 in terms of quarterback. So, I mean, similarities throughout for sure.
And I still see that. I still see a team that relies on its defense and wants to run the ball and rely on a really talented backfield. And you have a quarterback who's good and solid, but does he give you that like that extra thing that takes you from really good to great? That's why I do the 2021 comparison. But 2021 Michigan was a really good team and they won big games. So I don't mean that as a knock at all to Penn State. I just think it's an apt comparison. You said you'll be disappointed if Michigan's sloppy. I'm going to go a little more specific, and I think I'll be disappointed if JJ McCarthy is still throwing high and behind. That seems like a pretty consistent theme this season. For as good as he's been overall, and the numbers are pretty ridiculous, and he's making big time plays. I think especially against Purdue last week, you saw some missed throws. Just maybe it was some miscommunication stuff, but it looked like a good amount of just like ball should have been on this shoulder instead of on this shoulder, that kind of stuff.
Why do you think that is? I was at the game, and a lot of people, including when I got to work, I work for somebody who's a big time Michigan alum, and really complained about the performance. And I think at the game, though there was definitely a lull, you don't notice the amount of incompletions until you watch the tape back. The sacks, there's definitely some missed balls. Balls going off of hands. Cornelius Johnson having a chance for one in the end zone, but really could have just been a better throw. What do you think is causing that? Because you're right, it was a lot of like even the dropped balls. It was you could probably point to the quarterback on every single one of them. It just wasn't in the best place. Do you think when the running game's not going well, or when a game is a little bit closer, like do you think it's just kind of frantic JJ? Like, what do you think is causing that?
No, I don't think it's mental at all, honestly. I think it's just kind of a straight up accuracy thing, which might be, I don't know. I can't really diagnose, but I'm saying it's not. Sometimes you see a quarterback and a receiver. Receiver is supposed to sit down in the zone here. Instead, he keeps going. Quarterback throws it to where the receiver he thought should have been. Or receiver hooks up at 10 yards. Quarterback thought it was a go route. He thought they were on the same page reading the corner. That's not been a lot of Michigan's like passing game struggles. When they have struggled, I think it's just like straight up accuracy stuff. You got a crossing route. Yeah, obviously you're supposed to lead that guy, especially, you're in man-to-man coverage. You do that, he's running for a long time. A little too often you see that on the back shoulder, so that it's a difficult catch, and if he does make the catch, he's got to slow his momentum, kind of contort his body, and it limits the yak, the yards after catch.
Right, and that was a
So,
lot of them too. That was probably five, six incompletions alone.
yeah, and you want your receivers to be able to make those catches, obviously. I mean, I don't want to. Not every incompletion can be on the quarterback, regardless of if you could have made a better throw. But in a game, against Penn State, like, it's going to matter, if you're not hitting guys in stride, and instead of converting, you know, on second and eight, now you're facing third and four, or instead of converting third and four, you're facing fourth and four. Like, that stuff really adds up, where it does not against the Purdue's and Michigan States of the world. So we've seen him in big games, and I've got no reason to not trust him. But if you're going to pick on something, if you're going to be like, man, I hope that doesn't show up, it would be that right there. Just like little inaccuracy stuff. I think, you know, it's going to come back and bite you.
What I liked about when I watched it back, and, you know, love watching it back even more once you've been at the game, because it really feels like you're watching a whole new game. You just know the result. He had a really, really tough end to the first half. Ended up taking like that stumbling sack, and a lot of those incompletions, those, you know, missed throws were in the third quarter. And then, you know, obviously the first team guys played well into the fourth quarter, really for the first time all year.
Yeah.
And he really started to turn it back on by making some impressive throws, including one, you know, late to Roman Wilson deep. And Roman Wilson had a heck of a game. JJ, in terms of yards output, highest of the season, just didn't have the touchdowns, though, didn't have the interceptions. I think the rushing, the sacks, those numbers obviously really bad. But his percentage on Saturday was basically what his percentage was all year last year. And so maybe a bad game for him this year. But his ability to rebound, you think of the same thing after throwing two pick sixes against TCU. You know, he really played really well to keep Michigan in that the best they could. Defense couldn't stop a thing. He allowed Michigan to continue to score. Think of the game last year, you know, made a really bad throw, led to a pick six, and Michigan really relied on the running game to get back on top in the game against Penn State. And so I think he'll be okay. I mean, obviously Drew Aller can have a stellar performance. I think he's coming off of a really big confidence boosting performance, but quarterback to quarterback, even on the road, you've got to feel pretty confident to have JJ McCarthy. You just got to hope he can stay on target and then not really force too much in a way that allows him to, you know, his head gets a little big and he starts forcing throws that lead to potential turnovers. As long as he can stay calm, poised, you know, collected himself, I think he'll have a pretty good game. And to touch on the running game, I think the hardest thing, I think you would agree with this, is you look at last year's numbers from two guys, you can almost guarantee that is not going to be on the case on the road. And it has not been the case this season with how the rushing attack has been. And so I think that's the hardest thing going into this, is you already have continued question marks later into the season than you thought you would, but you definitely know you're not going to see, you know, a game likely like Donovan Edwards and Blake Corum had against Penn State last year.
No, that's a good point that leads me into what I was going to ask you as sort of a last thing before we get a score prediction here, which is, how do you think Michigan tries to utilize Donovan Edwards? Because I want to go back to what I was saying before, which is that it's not like the running game has been bad. It just hasn't been like the thing you have to rely on because of how good JJ McCarthy's been. And who knows how this one will play out. Does Michigan come to regret that? I don't, you know, whatever. But the other thing to factor into the effectiveness of the running game is Michigan is obviously trying to use Donovan Edwards a little differently, get him the ball more. It's not just straight handoff, see what you can do. He's lining up as a receiver. He had a great catch against Purdue going downfield down the sideline, almost had a touchdown there. Do you think this is a sort of a game like, kind of like, you remember how we would anticipate like, oh gosh, how are they going to use Jabril Peppers on offense? Not that it's to that level, but there's almost that intrigue of like, what are they going to dial up for Donovan Edwards in a big game?
He's been tremendous catching the ball, you know, started out obviously a mismatch and a kind of a blown assignment by Purdue. And I noticed this in the broadcast too.
I'm so sorry for him.
I mean, it's almost like when they showed the replay, I thought this was fascinating. One of the comments was, it's like he waited. Like, you could have thrown the ball out to him right away and it probably could have gone for 10 to 15. But it's like JJ McCarthy saw it, strategically waited, similar to They did that late in the Georgia game when a linebacker was on Donovan Edwards 2 years ago, and JJ came in. It's almost like you let the linebacker run out there, and you just know that there is no way he can keep up with Donovan Edwards. And as long as the ball is placed somewhat accurately, he's coming down with it.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think you'll see him utilized in the passing game, and I'm really hoping in the rushing game as well. You know, if there's a time for him to have a big run and have kind of a breakthrough moment on the road, Penn State, you know, very similar to the way he played late in the game against Ohio State. I mean, that would be huge for his confidence and really any positive run, you know, 10 yards plus, could really get the offensive line going, you know, overall, but especially in the run game, which has been limited. So I think you utilize Donovan Edwards as much as you can. I think he's out there as often as you can get him, and hopefully he can, you know, collectively with the rest of the unit make a big play.
The week after that, really struggling against Indiana. I don't trust them. I think Michigan's got enough in the tank, and I think they've got enough playmakers you can rely on that, yeah, Penn State's defense is really good, but Michigan's offense is really good too. I don't think it's a cancellation there. I don't think the defense cancels out the offense in this situation. So I'm going to take them 28-20. What do you got?
Got 24-17, right around the over-under line. I think it's 41.5. Mine would be 41. I think Penn State's offense does enough to score, and Penn State's defense does enough to limit Michigan from, you know, going 30, 40-plus like they have been as of late. But overall, I do think Michigan's the better team. I do think that, though, and you touched on this, the offense does look significantly different than a year ago. So maybe it's not the game where you see two running backs go off, but you've got a guy in J.J. McCarthy who seems more comfortable, confident, and playing better than ever, even coming off of maybe a more lousy game compared to some. So I think he makes enough plays to, you know, continue to give Michigan the edge. And one thing I'll say, Manny Diaz, you know, thought it was funny to show some signs and encourage the crowd to be loud on third down. Third down has been awesome for Michigan and J.J. McCarthy. You don't find success on third down, it's hard to win the game, but I just think the kid's too talented to not find some success even when the going gets tough. And so, yeah, 24-17 Michigan, and hopefully it'll be a good distraction from everything else going on, because, hey, Connor Stallions isn't around, so a win without Connor Stallions has got to mean something.
Don't assume. I bet if we look hard enough, we can find him.
I'm sure we can. And you know what we're definitely going to see is a bunch of guys dressed in Michigan gear, probably with binoculars or fake binoculars, pretending to be the next Connor Stallions.
And you know what? I hope they show it on TV, on the broadcast. I'll laugh at it. That'll be funny. I'll be a good sport about it. I think it'll be good. That's a high noon Eastern game, Derek.
Big noon.
As we mentioned. Big noon Saturday on
Fox.
Man,
what are those boys going to say about all this? Man.
Joel Klatt is gonna, he's actually gonna have like a 10-minute monologue.
You're not wrong.
He waxes poetic about the, I don't know how to finish that sentence.
Do you watch Big Noon before the game? I've been trying to avoid some of that. I think I might try to find something
no.
to do before the game.
No, I actually, I hardly even watch College Game Day. I mean,
yeah,
I've
been way off on that this year, and I think ever since the Michigan stuff, even less interested, to be honest.
That's part of it, definitely. But I play a lot of NCAA 14 Saturday mornings, man.
I like that.
That's my tradition. Like, I make a pot of coffee, I play NCAA 14. I'm currently the head coach at Duke, and we're like 7-2 or 8-2 or something like that. Still trying to play for the ACC championship, and. Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm focused on Saturday mornings.
You'll get there. And I think that, you know, again, not wanting to hear about the investigation stuff, really. similar to that, you know, how we'll feel, will we feel those nerves? Like, it's one of those big games. Like, I kind of just like being thrown right into it at noon, to be honest.
Me too.
You know, get the Joel Klatt monologue, the, you know, Gus Johnson fist pounding his partner, you know, and,
yeah,
and get right into
back.
It, you know. Don't have to overthink. Don't have to hear all the negative. And yeah, I mean, let's just get right into game time. And yeah, like we talked about this whole show. I mean, it's good to have a meaningful game back around.
We'll get back next week, break down the game against Penn State, talk about the one coming up against Maryland, which will be Michigan's last away game of the season before, of course, hosting Ohio State. So hopefully we also get a little more clarity on the Jim Harbaugh / Michigan investigation situation with any punishment that comes through. And we'll serve up some, like, I don't know, lukewarm takes on that. We don't seem to be hot takes people, so sorry to disappoint. But that's all coming up, I'm sure, in the next week or two. So take care out there, and go blue.
Go blue.